They fail to understand the Great Commission. We do, big time. Let me put that in more of a statistical analysis of the Great Commission that we fail. Back in 2016 and published in 2018, the Barna Research Group did a research on mission. And one of the questions that they asked of churchgoers is this: have you heard of the Great Commission? You look at that and you will see that 51% of churchgoers said they have not heard of the Great Commission. That's the majority of churchgoers have not heard of the Great Commission. Then they have 17%, or 6% said, we're not sure. And then they have 25% said, yes, but I cannot recall what the Great Commission means or is. Only 17% said, yes, we heard of the Great Commission and we know what it means. Now, what do you think? Is that a good thing? Now, that was back in 2018, published in 2018. Do you think that now we're 2023, we're getting better? Let's see how are we doing today, okay? I will ask a different question, but point to the same thing, right? To be fair, right? Now, how many of you are here are Christians? Raise your hand. If you're Christian, raise your hand. Ah, good. 99% of you. How many of you here are missionaries? Raise your hand. What happened to the rest? See, that just proved that you are Christian, and yet you don't understand the Great Commission. Right there. Different questions getting to the same point. You see, every single Christian is a missionary. And you forgot. Right? Where have you guys been? Did you read the Bible? Did you go to church? Yes, we read the Bible. Yes, we went to church. But so you must have heard of the Great Commission. What does the Great Commission say? The Great Commission said that we ought to engage the mission of God, right? So when you put all these statistics together, it's approximately 82% of the Christian back in 2016 and 17, 18, say they don't know the Great Commission. And you just proved that you don't know the Great Commission too. See? Here's the Great Commission. The Great Commission started in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. It said, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Okay? And when they saw him, watch this, and listen to this. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Have you ever thought about that? They worship him. They are doubting, right? Doubting him. Doubting his word. Right? But then here's the blessing thing. Even in their doubts, okay, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Right? Now, let me ask you, do you know how to baptize people? You've been studying the Great Commission. You've been studying the Word of God. You're a Christian. Many of you, if not most of you, if not all of you, have been baptized as children, as a baby. And yet you don't know how to baptize. Every Christian must know how to baptize if and when they are of age and understanding, okay? If I am a pastor of a congregation, every single member of mine need to learn how to baptize people. Yes, men, women, children as well. We are Christian. God gave us the Great Commission, right? How do we make disciples of all nations? Baptize, right? Teach and baptize, right? Did you know that right now we have about 7 billion people around the world and approximately 5.6 billion of them are not yet Christian. And each year, approximately 60 million people die around the world. And the majority of them die in their sin. And here we are. We are just Christian, not missionaries. That's why the majority of people that die each year are dead while they're still locked up in their sin. Because you and I, we fail to understand the Great Commission, to live out the Great Commission. If 60 million people die each year, too big of a number for you to understand, try this. By the time we finish our worship here, within 1 hour, right, 7,000 people around the world would have died. And the majority of them would die while they're still locked up in their sin. Within 1 hour, 7,000 people around the world die. Okay? Think about that. Okay? So that's why I wear this handcuff, to remind me that people around the world have been locked up in sin, and I'm free. And I am to go and set them free because God gave me the key. And the key is the gospel. Without preaching the gospel, people will not be set free. And also remind you that you are free as well. And there are people around the world, in your neighborhood, okay, are not free yet. And we are called to make disciples of all nations, to go and preach words and administer sacraments, okay? And right here, it's called Sacrament of the Altar, right? This is where we receive our forgiveness of sin daily, okay? But baptism forgives our original sin and our sin one time. But after baptism, we still live in this sinful world, and we are committed sin every day, and that's why we need to hear the word of God, confession, absolution, and receive the sacrament. It's a visible sign, okay, to give us the assurance that our sins are forgiven, right? We have the privilege, my family and I, we have the privilege of serving the Hmong, engaging with them in the Great Commission in Southeast Asia. And I have a 2 minutes video to introduce them to you. Now, Southeast Asia, I will not mention. I think you guys are recording, right? But you can see in the map, that's where we're serving, okay? Welcome to Thailand. Behind me is Myanmar. In front of me and where I'm standing is Thailand. The Great Commission says, go and therefore make disciples of all nations. The nation that we are working with is the Hmong people. They live in the country of Laos, Vietnam, Thailand, and Myanmar. Approximately, there are 2 million of them. And 10% of them are Christians. 90% of them are not. Therefore, the opportunity to share with them the gospel is tremendous. The majority of them are animists, and that means they believe in spirits. For office, we have many ministries. We have theological trainings for Hmong pastors and leaders to become teachers and preachers of the gospel in its truth and purity. We also do discipleship training so that we will equip church members to become disciple makers, not just members of a club. We want them to make disciples of our nations. We also work with the local churches to start new ministry and plant new churches wherever they are. These are the ministries that we are doing here in Southeast Asia with the Hmong people. And we need your prayers and financial support. And we need you to come over and help us to engage the mission of God here in Southeast Asia. So welcome to Thailand. That is the city of Chiang Mai in Thailand. It has about 3 million people. And the next scene of the children, it's at our center in Thailand where we have all these children come together, both Christian and non-Christians, orphans and children with parents come to our center and stay there 9 months out of 12 months. And we minister to them, word and sacraments, and so also take them to the public school to receive education. Prior to COVID-19, the ministry that we engaged in with the Hmong in Southeast Asia, we had 8 ministries that we worked with. And we started that ministry back in 2000 with Pastor Bob Hedke too. Then COVID-19 hit the world, right? And turned our world upside down, right? And it turned our ministry upside down as well. So we became creative, and by the grace of God, the ministry grew during COVID-19. The ministry grew from 8 ministry to 51 ministry. Now we have about 70 ministries that we are working with in Southeast Asia, okay? Prior to COVID-19, we have 1 theological training in one country. We would bring men from other countries to be trained in Thailand and then send them back. And we only have 12 of them. And it cost about $3,000 per training when they came over for about 2 weeks. Well, when COVID-19 hit the world, we used technology. And it increased our training from 12 men to 150 people, both men and women, from 3 different countries. And we have about 30 training sites all over in those Southeast Asia countries. So COVID-19 forces us to be very creative in the way we do ministry. And I also assume that it happened over here too, right? And so here's in ministry in perspective. Last year, during our fiscal year, we baptized 649 individuals. I thought that was great. But this year, just from July of 2022 to May 2023, we baptized 1,060 individuals. I have not even added June and July because our fiscal year ends at July 31st. And so that will change. I think we'll get to about 1,300 people were baptized by the end of July. So when you add the 2 years together, we have 1,700 or so people baptized, right? That is how God's work in Southeast Asia, right? And I did not even mention there, just this year we started 30 new ministries in Southeast Asia. Okay. The ministry grew. It brings a lot of joy. Joy because people love our Lutheran theology and confession. Okay. Now let me put that perspective. The teaching that we gave to them from our doctrines, confession, changed their lives and their ministries. Okay. Put perspective is this way. How many of you are willing to die for your faith? Raise your hand. You're willing to die for your faith, okay? Ah, good. You see? Your hand's kind of slow. Even for those of you who raise your hand. But for the Hmong in Southeast Asia, when you ask their question, their hands goes up, okay? Faster than yours, okay? Because persecution is a reality in Southeast Asia. And they know that when they become Christian, they will face persecution. A soft form and hard form from strangers and from family members. They will face it. And they say that's the reality of being Christian. Okay. Over here, we don't expect that, right? We expect that I'm going to go to church and we'll make sure that I like the church. If I don't like the church, you know, it's painful for me already. So I'm not going to go to that church, right? We come to church, we've been persecuted because we don't like the music, we don't know the people, the chair's too soft, hurt my back, the chair's too hard, hurt my butt, okay? We've been persecuted by all these things, right? But in Southeast Asia, we can worship under the tree. Right? We can worship on the heart, outside. There's no problem. Okay? The problem is then the authority will come and arrest us. Then our neighbors who are not Christian will call the authority, okay? And they will come and arrest us. Okay? Then our family member will kick us out because they say we're no longer part of the family. So those things are happening in Southeast Asia. So it brings joy, but also brings challenge. So here it is. How many of you know for sure that when you die, you go to heaven? Raise your hand. See? In Southeast Asia, they don't know that. The Christian. When you ask them that question, they say, I'm not sure. They're willing to die for their faith, but they're not sure if and when they die, they'll go to heaven. And that is why our Lutheran theology and confession become the key to help them grow strong in their faith and change their life. Okay? We can point to visible sign of sin forgiven right here. Right? But what they have learned from other teaching is that this is nothing. Okay? The sacrament of the altar is nothing. The sacrament of baptism, man, it's a sign, a symbol, and it's a ceremony that you go through. Okay? There's no salvation, no forgiveness. Okay? And we are able to say, no. This is where you meet the body and the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, right here, visible. We are not just believe, we actually see. Okay? And baptism changed you. Okay? Now, before I speak any longer, anymore, I want to ask you, of all Jesus' miracles that he did during his time, which one would you like to see? Feeding of the thousand. Wow, that's cool. Walking on water? Oh, that's incredible. But I think that the one I want to see most is raising the dead. Right? Raising the dead. Now, let me ask you, have you seen that happen? No. Man, I feel sorry for you guys. Let me put it in a more practical way. How many baptisms happened here in your church this past year or this year? How many baptisms? One last week. One last week, right? That wasn't just a baptism, right? That was Jesus raised the dead. You know, that person, that individual, whether it's a child or it's an adult, before baptism, that person was dead. In baptism, that person become alive. That's what happened. And Jesus still do miracles. Yeah? Raising the dead, feeding the 5,000, 4,000, million of thousands through you. And you don't even see it. Yeah? What are you guys looking for? Right? If you don't believe the word of God, then you missed out. Jesus is still working his miracles, and he works through you. You are his miracle to the nations. You are God's love to the nations. Okay? So don't just kid yourself that I'm just a Christian, go to church. Let me ask you, why are you coming to church? Why are you coming to church? Worship. Okay. Hear the word. Why worship and why hear the word? To be close to God. So you are not close to God at home? You cannot read the word of God at home? You can. But the most important thing about coming to church as community of believers is for us to be healed, right? By the word of God, by the sacrament, and then to be equipped, right? And to go out there and engage in the mission of God, right? So coming to church, it's sort of like you come to the spiritual hospital, okay, to heal your soul. And then at the same time, you're also in the mission school, be trained so that you get out there, engage in the mission of God. Okay? That's why we come to church. And if you don't come to church for that reason, then you'll complain about everything here, right? But if you come to church to be healed and then to be equipped and engage in the word of God, you don't really care much about chairs and the floor is too shiny, I could fall, right? You just say, Pastor, give me the word of God. Give me the sacraments. Equip me. Show me how to engage the gospel out there. Okay? So that's what we do. So joy also comes with the ministry growth. Challenge also comes with the ministry growth. Okay? We need your prayer. We need your financial support to continue this ministry, this growing ministry. I believe that the Hmong ministry in Southeast Asia is one of the most and fastest growing ministry in Southeast Asia. You go ask, of all the foreign missionaries in the Synod, anybody baptized over 1,000 people within a year, 10 months? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. We, by the grace of God, have the privilege of witnessing and doing baptism over 1,000 people just within 10 months. Okay, but we need help to continue to do that. And how we got all that baptism happen, we have to send out our members out, right? When is the word of God? And they are farmers. They don't have financial means of just get going like we are in the United States. So we have to give them support so they can go, okay? And they need training. They need printing materials. They need food, transportation, lodging when they go, okay? And you and I, we could support them through that, okay? In the mission of God, we are all together. Okay? We are all together, whether here or around the world, okay? We need more teachers. Why don't you guys come out with a team and come and check it out with us in Thailand, okay? I expect to see you guys come as a team in Thailand. And we'll show you how the Lord's work in Thailand. You know, short-term mission work, very addictive. You start one and you get going, and you get going. And then foreign mission work ignite local ministry as well. Okay? And so I pray that you'll bring a team to come and see what the Lord's doing in Southeast Asia, especially in Thailand. It's much safer in Thailand. Then we have persecution. Okay? Persecution in Thailand, here it is. This is one of our two evangelists. They knew Christians, and they were very zealous about the gospel. They kept traveling and witnessing the gospel wherever they go, especially in the community. And one day, they just went out and shared the word of God, came back with a motorbike parked on the street, right? They went into their home, and then they came back, and look at that. Their motorbike was set on fire, okay? Because someone believed that if they burned the motorbikes, then they would stop traveling and witnessing the gospel, okay? Did that stop them? No, it did not. They sent us word, and the congregation worked together, gave them a new motorbike, and they are now traveling again, okay? So persecution happened every day. Now visit our table display in the North Axe, the entranceway there. You get lots of information. And we want to thank those of you who receive letters of support for matching fund. Thank you for participating in that. And without your prayer and financial support, the Lord's work can still happen, but it will be happening without you. Okay? Brothers and sisters in Christ, know for sure that in your confession and in your baptism, you were called to make disciples of all nations. That means you are a missionary, each and every single one of you, right here, whether young or old, okay? If you remember your confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then remember your baptism, okay? If you don't remember your baptism because you were baptized as an infant, then remember you confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior because he has called you to be his disciple makers, and you are a missionary. But the problem with most of us and all of us, Christian, including me, is we became like Moses. Huh? You know Moses? When God called Moses to go back to Egypt and help the Israelite get out of Egypt, what Moses say? Lord, no, I have a good life now, right? But he didn't actually say that. He actually used a very practical excuse. He said, I cannot speak. I'm slow in speaking. I'm stuttering, okay? Send someone else. Okay? He actually said, pardon your servant. Lord, please send someone else, but not me. Okay. Some of us are like that, right? Not me. Okay. We use all kind of excuse. Or some of us are like Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah said, Lord, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Okay. Some of us here say, I'm so young, right? I don't know how to say. And then some of us here say, I'm so old, I don't have the energy to speak either. So we use our age, right, as an excuse for not engaging the mission of God. Engaging the mission of God, there's no age limit, okay? There's no age limit, okay? So don't use your age. God will not accept you. What happened to Jeremiah? God said, yeah, you're young, I'm still going to use you. Go wear a yoke, okay? See, Jeremiah wore a yoke, that's why I wear a handcuff, okay? To visibly show you that people around the world, they've still been locked up in sin. Jeremiah wore a yoke to tell the Israelites that God will judge you because you were disobedient, okay? Or some of us are fighting the church, okay? Who's right, who's wrong? I'm right, you're wrong. This is what I want. I don't care about what you want, and don't get along. If you are fighting your church, you have been neglected the mission of God. God did not call you to fight in the church for your, the desire of your heart. God called you together to seek for his kingdom and his righteousness. And you have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. You should fight about how we're going to do that, okay? Instead of what I want, what I need. I don't like this, I don't like that, okay? If you still fight in your church, you still have conflict in your church members, you will definitely not engage in the mission of God, but you are engaging your own mission, okay? And that is not good. God called us to be Great Commission people. So if we still have struggle, if we still have excuses, confess your sin to the Lord, and he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you your sin, okay? And be kind to each other. And if you are in conflict, wash each other's feet. Ask for forgiveness so that you can work together, okay? Then you become like Isaiah. Say, here am I. Send me. Send me. I may be young, but I have energy, okay? I may be old, but I'm not dead yet. So you can still use me. I could pray, okay? Here am I. Send me. Send me, okay? This is what the Lord said to Jeremiah, and also saying to each and every single one of us. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, and to overthrow, to build and to plant. You hear that? The Lord has put his words in your mouth, okay? And he has give you authority over nations, kingdoms, and you have the key. That's the key. The office of the key is right there. To pluck up and break down, okay? To destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant, okay? You have the office of the keys. You ought to have the gospel keys to go and set people free. Break down the chains of sin, okay? We call that preach words, law and gospel. So, the Great Commission, it's very difficult for us to understand, especially in the King James Version, the ESV, and also the NIV, okay? But here is my version of it, okay? That's my version. English is my sixth language, so I've made the Great Commission very simple in my English understanding of the English language. Here's my broken English, okay? Therefore, as you go on living your life, okay, share your faith with everyone. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do all that I have commanded you or I have taught you. Simple enough. As you go on living your life every day, make disciples. God's going to put people in front of you every single day. Like today, I'm pretty sure that after worship here, some of you will go out there, right? And some of you will go and have lunch, right? Now, the first person that you meet at the restaurant is your waitress, right? Tell the waitress that you're a Christian. How do you do that? You should not just say, hey, waitress, I'm a Christian, okay? No. You say, waiter, how long have you worked here? Do you like your job here? Is there anything that you would like us to pray for? Why, when we pray for and give thanks for our food? Yeah? You do that, you just engage the mission of God. Okay? Great commission. So as you go on living your life, make disciples all along the way. Okay? And you know what? The Lord did not just give us the Great Commission and then forget about us. We cannot engage in the Great Commission without the Lord. The Lord is leading and guiding us in the Great Commission. Therefore, He also gave us the Great Comfort. Now, who tells me? You know that now. You know the Great Commission. What is the Great Comfort? What is the Great Comfort? Huh? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. Okay? Now, I want to know about the Great Comfort. Okay? Not the Great Comforter, but the Great Comfort. You guys probably forgot about this, okay? Last part, last line of the Great Commission is the Great Comfort. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. And lo, oh, that's me. Yeah, that's me. That's my last name. I'm lo. So no wonder you guys are not excited about the Great Commission. It's not about you guys. Oh, man. I'm so sorry to preach to you about the Great Commission. You know, it's not for you guys. So, oh, man. No wonder I'm so crazy about the Great Commission. That is the King James Version. And lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. In the NIV version, it says, and surely, are you surely? And surely, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And then the ESV, and behold, are you behold? Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You know? So, it is for all of us, the great comfort. That great I am is the triune God is with us. That word alo, surely, and behold, you may not understand what they mean, right? Like I understand lo, it's me. But here's my simple English translation of lo, behold, and surely. It would say something like this, and 100% guarantee. Okay? I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So get going, because I'm going out there with or without you. That's what God said. Okay? But it would be much better if you say, here am I, take me along, Lord. Okay? So may the word of God that you heard today, may His work in Southeast Asia inspire you, guide you to engage in the Great Commission right here in your neighborhood, right where you work, and with us around the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. And we come before you this day in all praise for your grace and mercy, for which we do not deserve. And we know we have sinned against you, but because of your immense love for us, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus.